18th Psalm and also the third chapter of Habakkuk. Psalm 18 and the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. In Psalm 18, we'll read verses 32 and verse 33. It is God that girdeth me with strength, maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Habakkuk chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 17 through verse 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer of my stringed instruments. Back in the 18th Psalm, we see that these are the words of David in a song, and they are words when God had delivered him from the hands of his enemies. Historically, it goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 22. We'll not turn there to save time. But again, their words, the 18th Psalm is spoken to the Lord. They are words of praise. They are words of thankfulness. They are words of assurance. We see that in verse 2 and verse 3. The Lord is my rock, fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and high tower. He's worthy to be praised. Again, all of this speaks of thankfulness. All of this speaks of assurance. There are also words of testimony throughout the 18th Psalm, what God had done in the life of the psalmist. We see in verse 6, he said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." In verse 16, "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." Latter part of verse 19, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." In verse 31, we see, "It is God that girdeth me with strength." So again, he reviews what God has done for him. And then in verses 1 through 3, he declares his resolve. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord." Verse 2, he says, "I will trust." In verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord." And then in the book of Habakkuk, we see these are the last words of the book, and we see that they are a prayer of Habakkuk. In chapter 3 and verse 1, we read a prayer of Habakkuk. And these two are words of assurance. They are words of confidence in the Lord. And the main thing here, there's a sharp contrast between what is written in chapter 3 and what is written in the beginning of the book. Now, we know that Habakkuk ministered or prophesied during a time of international crisis. It was a time of great national corruption. It was a time of great unrest within the nation of Judah. Josiah had been a very good king, but when he died, his son Jehoahaz rose to the throne, And in 3 months, the king of Egypt invaded Judah and disposed of Jehoaz and placed his brother Jehoiakim on the throne in his stead. And this is where the troubles began, because Jehoiakim was very evil. He was ungodly. He was a very rebellious individual. And shortly after Jehoiakim came to power, we have, that's when the book of Habakkuk was written. That's when Habakkuk would have been prophesying. So the book was written in a time of apostasy. It was written during a time of great hardship. It was a time where injustice prevailed. We see this from reading chapters 1 and 2. It was a time of destruction. It was a time of violence. The wicked dominated over the righteous. And Habakkuk had seen the temple of God forsaken. And it just simply was a time of great difficulty. We see in chapter 1 of the book of Habakkuk, in verse 2, we see that it was a time of violence. That is, it was a time of brutality. It was a time of hostility. It was a time of much turbulence. We also see in verse 3 that it was a time of iniquity. We see that word iniquity. That word simply means that which is twisted or perverted. So it was a time of great perversion. We see also from verse 2, we see that word grievance. It was a time of injustice. It was a time of unfairness as far as judgment was concerned. It was a time of spoiling, we see there in verse 3. That is, it was a time of where much damage was done. It was a time where much ruin was brought about. It was also a time of strife, we see there in verse 3. That is, it was a time of conflict and hostility. We see also from verse 3, it was a time of contention. That is, there was much dispute and dissension within the nation. And we see also in verse 4, the law is slacked, that is the head laws, but they were not put into practice, they were not put into execution, and judgment doth never go forth, and the wicked doth compass about the righteous, that is the wicked ensnared the righteous, hemmed in the righteous. And we see that from verse 4, that wrong judgment proceedeth. That is, judgment was against the good, and judgment was for the wicked. And as you read Habakkuk chapter 1, as you read Habakkuk chapter 2, it's a pretty accurate picture of our society today. From chapter 2, we also learn that it was a time of widespread greed. It was a time of arrogant self-assertion. Again, it was a time of violence. It was a time of inhumanity. It was a time of drunkenness. It was a time of idolatry. So Habakkuk was living in the very midst of corruption. He was living in the very midst of immorality. He was living in the very midst of perversion. He was living in the very midst of chaos. And God revealed some things to Habakkuk. And out of frustration, Habakkuk begins to question the Lord. We see that in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear, and thou wilt not hear. Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. So Habakkuk is saying, why, Lord, do you not answer me? Why do you show me? Why do you show me all of these things and do nothing? Why don't you save? Why don't you deliver? Why don't you act? Why aren't you doing anything? And many have that mindset today, that God is inactive, that God is indifferent to what is going on around us. Well, God answered Habakkuk in chapter 1, verses 5 through verse 11. And Habakkuk did not like God's answer. God, without reading those verses, again for time's sake, basically what God told Habakkuk was, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something about the sin in Judah. I am going to punish the nation by rising up the Babylonians. And that even troubled Habakkuk even further. And he responds, again, paraphrasing, you can read Habakkuk chapter 1. Well, God, I know that you have the power to do this. And I know because you have said that you will do it, I know it's going to happen. But Lord, I do not understand how you can do these things this way. How can a holy God use an unholy people to judge God's people? He's saying, Lord, you are holy. You cannot even stand evil. So why would you use a nation even more evil than the nation of Judah to punish us? Habakkuk basically is saying, as you read chapter 1, Lord, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense. Habakkuk's heart and mind was filled with questions. And he does not understand how God would do things this way. He does not understand why God would do things this way. In other words, God's answer to Habakkuk just did not seem right to Habakkuk. In fact, it seemed contrary to what Habakkuk believed about the person of God. And that's where we find Habakkuk in chapter 1. That's where we find him in chapter 2. We see that he says in verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me. So Habakkuk goes and stands upon his tower, and he would wait. He would wait for God to reveal himself. In other words, he withdrew from everything that was going on. And now we find him in chapter 2, just waiting. And then as you read on through chapter 2, God began to show Habakkuk himself. He began to reveal his person. And he assured Habakkuk that he was there and that he did care. And from reading chapter 3, verse 17, it's obvious that God had shown Habakkuk what would be the outcome of his judgment upon Judah. And what you read in verse 17 is basically the total devastation to the economy of Judah. So it is obvious from reading chapter 3, verse 17, that God had shown this to Habakkuk. But by the time we get to these last verses, by the time we get to chapter 3, Habakkuk is a different person. Something has happened to Habakkuk between chapters 1 and chapter 3. Habakkuk is no longer where he was in the beginning of the book. In the beginning of the book, he is questioning God. In chapter 3, Habakkuk is no longer stuck in the confusion and chaos. He's no longer in the depths of his own reasoning. He's no longer at despair. As you come to chapter 3, Habakkuk has an entirely different attitude. Habakkuk has an entirely different spirit. And he speaks with great assurance concerning what the Lord had said. The name Habakkuk means embraced. He that embraces. And that's what happened. Habakkuk embraced God. Habakkuk embraced what God said. And these last verses that we read here in Habakkuk for our text is a result of Habakkuk embracing God and embracing what God said. Now you'll notice in both of these passages, Psalm 18 and Habakkuk chapter 3, that David and Habakkuk both spoke of high places. And they both spoke of the fact that God did and would make their feet like hinds' feet, enabling them to stand upon the high places. David said, "He did that for me. He made my feet like hinds' feet." And Habakkuk said that God would do that for him. So we want to speak tonight on hinds' feet for high places. Hinds' feet for high places. The high places are places of strength. They are places where God's people find stability. They are places where God's people can find firmness. They are places of durability. They are places of safety. They, of course, are places of elevation, where the very people of God can live above everything that is below. The high places tower above. The high places excel and go beyond all the circumstances that are below. The high places tower above all the turmoil and all the uncertainties of life. These high places for the child of God are places of optimism. They are places where the child of God can find hope. There are places where the child of God can find confidence. And there are places where the child of God can find joy. And they can find rest. And they can find peace. These high places are places of victory. And you and I live in a world today where the majority of people living on planet Earth are wandering aimlessly. But God has provided some high cliffs where his people can have firm footing, where his people can have direction in life. And we thank God that in a world of restlessness, that in a world of unsettledness, in a world of shifting sands, that God has provided some places of strength. God has provided some places of stability. And in a world that is surrounded with dangers and pitfalls and temptations, God has provided some places where you and I, the sons and the daughters of God, can find safety. These are, the world is filled with trouble and distress and difficulty. The world is filled with hardships and strain and stress and misery and suffering and pain and afflictions. But God has provided some places of elevation. Places that tower above all of these things, where the child of God can live above it all. This world, of course, is a place filled with gloom. But God has provided some places where God's people can escape the gloom of the world. Where God's people can find optimism. In a world filled with despair, in a world filled with despondency, God has provided these high places. And these are places of hope. In a world filled with torment, God has provided these high places that where we can find rest and where we can find peace. In a world that will strip you of everything, God has provided some high places where you and I can find abundant supply, where we can find everything that you and I need. In a world that is filled with defeat, God has provided some high places where you and I can find victory. These high places that God has provided are unaffected by everything in this earth. They are unaffected by all situations. They are unaffected by all circumstances. In the high places, the view is marvelous. You can see things from the high places that you can't see from down here on earth. From the high places, all the distractions are below. It's no wonder that the psalmist cried, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." There in Psalm 61. In verse 2, the Word of God is filled with high places. When you think of high places, we're thinking of places of stability. Things that we know for sure every single day. Every single day, as far as you and I are concerned, is filled with uncertainties. But every day there are things that we can be absolutely certain of. And those are the high places. Those are the places where we can stand. When you think of the person of God, when you think of the magnificence of God, when you think of the splendor of God, when you think of the majesty of God, when you think of the sovereignty of God, that is a high place. That is a place where you can find sure footing. That is a place where you can find confidence. And nothing that goes on in this life changes that high place. God is unaffected by everything that goes on here. What we have in Jesus Christ as children of God is a high place. It is a place that is elevated far, far above all the threats of the world. In Jesus Christ, I stand clothed in righteousness before God. In Jesus Christ, I have acceptance with God. In Jesus Christ, I have redemption. In Jesus Christ, I have justification. In Jesus Christ, I have forgiveness of sin. In Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. In Jesus Christ, I have reconciliation. I have peace with God. I have nearness with God. I have fellowship with God. I'm a child of God. I have access to God. I have victory. All of this is in Jesus Christ. This is a high place. These things are unaffected by what goes on in this world. In Jesus Christ, I am rich. Nothing can change that. Nothing changes the person of God. Nothing changes what I have in Jesus Christ. The Word of God is a high place. It's what we have in the Word of God is elevated above all the confusion of the world. This world is confused today. This world is a place of bewilderment today. The world is in perplexity today. The world is puzzled today. The world is filled with disorder, chaos, and turmoil today. The world is in a state of upheaval, and the Word of God is a high place. The Word of God is not bound. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, Paul said, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. These are things that you and I know for sure every single day. So God has provided us some high places. But He's done more than that. He's also provided us the ability to stand in the God-provided high places. The high places do not benefit you and I if we can't get to them. The high places do not benefit you and I if all we can do is talk about them, if all we can do is dream about them. We have to be able to stand in the high places. And that's what David is talking about when he said, "God maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places." And Habakkuk, now in Habakkuk chapter 3, is absolutely certain that God was going to do the same thing for him. He said, "He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." This is a picture. This is a picture of sure-footedness. It is a picture of the ability to be free from all the stumbling that's going on below. To be free from all the falling that's going on below. You and I need high places. We have high places. You and I need hinds feet to enable us to stand on the high places. Again, this is a picture of the doe or the mountain goat. He bounds up the mountainside, leaping from rock to rock, and he does so with great precision. He does so with great grace. He does so with great agility. It is a picture of triumph. It is a picture of triumph over each and every obstacle that gets in the way. We've all seen it. We've all seen it at zoos. We've seen pictures. There's the cliff. It's like this, and there's that goat standing. The wind can be blowing. There he stands. He's on a high place. He has sure footing. There's nothing there that can bother him. He's got a sure foundation beneath him. And oh, how we need to pray that God would give us hinds feet. We know the high places exist. Now we need is the hinds feet to enable us to stand there, to enable us to abide there. And that brings us again back to Habakkuk chapter 3. We see here the results of standing upon the high places. Again, Habakkuk embraced God. He embraced what God had said. And the results are seen in our text. And you and I would have the same results today if we would embrace God and if we would embrace what God says. Notice there are two very significant words in verse 17 and verse 18. The first word we want to consider is that word, although. Although. It simply means even though. Even though. And then it is followed, that word is followed by a description of devastation and ruin. We see, although the fig tree shall not blossom, although the fruit shall not be in the vines, and although the olive fail, and although the fields yield no meat, and although the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, even though all these things are going to happen, our life is filled with all those. Filled with it. We all have them in our lives. Although things are going to happen, bad things are going to happen. Terrible things are going to happen. Although, even though. And then the other word is that word yet in verse 18. Although, that is, even though, and then we have yet. And that word yet relates to what followed the although. It relates to what we read in verse 17. And that word yet simply means still. Although all these things happen, Habakkuk says, still, I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of God. of my salvation. It means in spite of. In spite of everything that is mentioned in verse 17. Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. It means, but at the same time. But at the same time. That is, while all these things are happening, I will rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk is not saying, when verse 17 is finished, then I'll rejoice in the Lord. That's not what he's saying. Any lost person can do that. He's saying yet. That is, even while verse 17 is going on, I will rejoice in the Lord. That's hinds feet. That's hinds feet standing on the high places. And what follows there in verse 18, again, is just simply confidence in the Lord. Everything in verse 18 and 19 is about the Lord. It's nothing about verse 17. It's all about God, because God is unaffected by verse 17. God is what caused, brought about verse 17. He's unaffected by it. And as soon as God's people can embrace God, embrace what God has said, that is when you have hinds feet to stand on the high places. And that's where confidence is found. That's where assurance is found. A few weeks ago, my dad passed away. And as we were standing around his bed, the pain was very great within my heart. And then as I watched him take his last breath, very great heartache, very great sadness came over me. And though I left that nursing home that day with absolutely no assurance that he knew the Lord, I could rejoice because the Lord had provided high places. And the Lord gives hinds feet to stand upon those high places. And no matter where my dad is in eternity, does not change God one iota. Does not change anything about God. Does not change the greatness of salvation. Does not change the goodness of God. These are high places. These are places of great assurance. These are places of great confidence. And as long as we can stand on the high places, though we may not understand it all, and though we may not be able to explain it all, we have confidence that God is good. And that nothing changes the Lord. And we have firm footing. We have firm footing. Thank God that we, as the children of God, do not have to live in the dark dungeons of this world. Why would a child of God live in the dark dungeons of the world? Don't you realize there are high places? Oh, that God would give us hinds feet to stand on the high places and not to dwell in the dark dungeons. We as children of God, we do not have to live in the slimy mud. We do not have to live in the sludge that we formerly lived in. There are high places. Places of stability. Places of firmness. We do not have to live in the realm of instability. There are high places. And oh, how we need to pray that God would give us hinds feet to enable us to stand on the high places. Because folks, just like it was in Habakkuk's day, terrible things are on the horizon. Judgment is on the horizon. Devastation is on the horizon. And the politicians and man does not have the answer. Nor can they stop what God is going to do. But there are high places. For the child of God in the midst of it all, there are high places where you and I can stand. And I'm telling you, from the high places, everything looks different from up there. When you're living in the dark dungeons of the world, your vision's not very clear. But you get up into the high places. The high places of the greatness of God. The high places of what we possess in Jesus Christ. The high places of the Word of God. These are rocks. These are rocks that soar above all the circumstances below. These are rocks upon which I can stand. No matter what the storm is. Oh, how we need hinds feet to dwell on the high places. There's nothing stronger. There's nothing more stable. There's nothing more steady. There's nothing more firm than the high places. And again, the high places are unaffected by verse 17. By everything that happens in verse 17, the high places are unaffected. There is a place, there are places where you and I can dwell that are unaffected by this world. It is sad how greatly affected all of us are by what goes on in this world. It's really sad. Because the truth is, God has provided some high places. We don't have to live down here. We can live above. Everything that goes on down here. I can live above this world. I can live in places where I have assurance. Places where I have confidence. I can stand upon the Word of God. That's a good rock to stand upon. I can stand upon the greatness of God. That's a good rock to stand upon. I can stand upon Jesus Christ. These are all good rocks upon which we ought to stand. And God has not only provided these places, but He has given each of His children the ability to stand in these places. Hinds feet. For the high places. I thank God. This world that we live in, I thank God that God has provided some high places. And when we feel ourselves going down into the dungeon, we need to pray, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Give me hinds feet that I might be able to stand on those rocks. No one ought to have more assurance than a child of God. No one ought to have more hope than a child of God. And if we stand in the high places, you can't help but have assurance. You can't help but have hope. Thank the Lord for the high places. Are you dwelling there this evening? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.